Hey everyone, this is Scott from DVC-Rental.com. As you know, we're your go-to place for all Disney travel, and if you've ever thought of taking a beach holiday, make sure you also look into us as we have Disney's Vero Beach, which is on the Atlantic down in Florida, or we also have Disney's Hilton Head Resort in South Carolina. Again, that's DVC-Rental.com.
And welcome everybody to a special year-end edition of the WDW Royal Court News Review. I'm Jen Bachman. I've got my co-host with me, Cassandra Callahan. Hey, Cassandra.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good today. Thanks.
And we have an extra special guest. Chris Malik is joining us as our third chair today to talk about all
this. You hear the crowd goes wild.
This is nice. It's kind of like sitting in like the passenger seat of the car or the back seat of the car. This is nice. I like it. I got extra leg room, kind of relaxing. This is nice. Enjoy it.
Well, our usual co-hosts, Cindy and Jenny, couldn't join us today. So Chris has graciously offered to step in and help us talk about that the year that was 2023. So it is just about wrapped up. It has been a year, some good things, some not so great things, and some things that, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think today what we would love to do is talk about some notable news items that came out in the last year. We will have a special giveaway. So be listening throughout the show, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that later. And then we want to talk about our predictions from last year and how good or bad they were and what we are predicting for next year. So, Chris, do you have anything to add to that before we go ahead and jump in?
Okay, well, let me add this. Listen to the opening. My job is in jeopardy.
I mean, she's amazing, right? Like, I mean, just this. Natural. Just what natural. Am I gonna do? Yeah.
I might as well just stop right now. I might as well just end the show. Never. Let's bring this. Yeah. Guys, the Dubs is going to end in January of 2024. Jen's officially going to be taking over the show at this point. So, how about we do this? We got some DVC news, don't we, to talk about? Let's start off there. Can we do that and then go around the table? Because I was excited hearing about the cabins and whatnot.
Let's start there. So a lot of you guys know that I'm with DVC-Rental, and there has been some new DVC news recently released. And so I'm just going to, you know, highlight quickly over a few of those things. One of them being the Villas at Disneyland Hotel in California opened its doors September 16th. So those rooms look beautiful from what I've seen online. We're hoping to view them in person summer 2025 when my family goes. Most exciting news for me, however, was at the DVC board. They announced that the new Polynesian Resort DVC Tower being built will be part of the current association. So that tower is slated to open late 2024. But ultimately what that means is that if you're a resale owner and you have not bought direct, you are not blacklisted from utilizing your points at that tower. Mm-hmm. So that's big news because I will say that I've got 3 resale contracts and 1 direct. That means that I can use all of my points there if you can get in. And those, it's going to have primarily 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, grand villa, because, you know, the Polynesian villas are solely studios and bungalows. But that, I think, was some big news. Also, the cabins at Disney Fort Wilderness Resort, a Disney Vacation Club resort, is projected to open summer 2024 and will be the 17th Disney Vacation Club Resort. Each cabin can accommodate up to 6 guests, and some are even dog friendly.
Mm.
Ooh. So I know there were a lot of members that were excited to hear that. You know, you can bring Fido with you. You don't need to board them. So I think there's going to be a big draw over that and a big fight over those. I don't know how they're going to, you know, advertise these rooms, or, you know, these are dog friendly and in these aren't. So, so ultimately, I guess they're getting rid of quite a few of those cabins, and they're just, they're like little modular homes, you know, yeah. They're just being brought in. So it's kind of a quick turnaround, but we also have the DVC refurbishment schedule that was announced. So 2024 currently Disney's Hilton Head Island Resort, Disney's Boardwalk Villas, and Disney's Vero Beach Resort. Those are undergoing refurbishments. The year 2025, Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort, Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, Jumbo House, Disney's Animal Kingdom Villas Kidani, Copper Creek at Disney's Wilderness Lodge, Saratoga Springs Treehouse, and then the villas at Disney's Grand California. So, Yeah. So 2025, I think, is a very needed year for a lot of those, particularly Animal Kingdom Lodge, Grand Cal. You know, like I said, we're hoping to go out there. I would love to land at Grand Cal, you know, in a refurbished room, because right now they just look sad.
Yeah.
Sad. So.
Well, and we had some other refurbishments come through this year, right? I think Wilderness Lodge and Boardwalk. Yeah,
Boardwalk's kind of going through the refurbishment schedule now. But Beach Club is also underway.
Nice.
So,
yeah. It seems like almost everything is under refurbishment right now, which is good and bad, but
right. They
needed it.
I know. I think the biggest hit that we're going to take is 2025, I think January to March, Storm Along Bay at Beach Club is going to be closed. So I'm curious on the rental side of things, if requests are going to, you know, drop down, or, you know, we're going to have to make that very clear to our renters. Hey, if you're trying to get in Beach Club for Storm Along Bay, just FYI, you know,
you're
going to have to use a quiet pool. So.
And here, old Malik's just sitting around waiting to think, what is my new refurbishment at my house is going to look like when I get all those cool pieces donated to the Lakeland Antique Store and the Hope Thrift Store? I'm just wondering how that's going to impact my life, you know, at this point.
You know, so, we can rent your points out for you, Malik. And you can fund your refurbishment.
Nice. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about essentially the Poway Tower. You think they learned a lesson from the Riviera at that point with the feedback from the Riviera, or what do you think the motivation was for that?
You know, I'm not sure, but the Riviera is becoming the redheaded stepchild. And as a Riviera owner, you know, I mean, we bought two small contracts there because I knew it would be, if in the event that we needed to sell, I knew it would be a difficult sell. I am not sure the reasoning as to why they would have not made it a separate association because Copper Creek and Boulder Ridge, you know what I mean? They're right there next to each other. You know, but then you have the Grand Floridian, but they converted a piece of real estate, you know what I mean? So that made sense, but this is ground up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure as to why they, are not doing a new association. I mean, I'm thrilled about it.
You know, for sure.
that makes the Poly points that I have more valuable, I think.
I have a theory, and I don't know that there's any truth to it, but I'll share my theory. Okay. I think because those original Poly owners had no access to a one bedroom option. I mean, you are either in a studio or you're in this bungalow that you have, unless you have a boatload of points.
Right.
That's just not even right.
I can pay for two nights, I think, for the entire, you know,
right.
That's it.
And I think if they rolled this out and had options that were actually affordable and didn't include the previous association members, that would not have gone well. But I also think that they always have a challenge with the points allocation because those bungalows are weighted so heavily. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see once the tower rolls out.
You know, I didn't think about the point values and how that's going to be redistributed. Mm-hmm. But there are also quite a few members that are not thrilled that it's going to be part of the same association because everybody's going to, everybody, every resale member, you know what I mean, are going to have access.
Yeah.
Book that one bedroom. It's going to be very competitive. So, yeah.
Can I get to my first news piece here? Can we go in the opposite direction?
Let's go. Let's go.
From from super useful DVC to Figment falling over himself. And of course, I would have this because it's consistent with my personality to enjoy this. So we're talking about the Figment meet and greet. So anyways, here was the story. So they announced at D23 Expo in 2022 that Figment was going to have a meet and greet. Everyone went crazy, right? Because everything with that purple dragon is gold. It literally is gold. Every lounge fly, every sipper, every 5-hour wait for a freaking popcorn bucket is gold for that purple dragon. So they were going to go and create this meet and greet. And it's still there. It's at ImageWorks, which is just on the opposite side of the attraction once you exit the attraction. Or you can actually go to the gift shop and kind of work your way in there for the meet and greet. But, you know, they announced he's got some isolated times like all the characters do. So it's from like 2.5 hours in the morning and like 2.5 hours in the afternoon. So you got to get in line, you know, and it's obviously high in demand. So, it's
pretty limited. What were those hours again? Just for my
own. Yeah, 9 to 12:30 and then 1:30 to 3:30.
1:30 to 3:30.
You know, because they got to pick them up off the floor from falling, and you got to heal up. You got to take time to heal up. But that was back. You know, he appeared. It was like in September, so that news story hit though. But it's been the buzz because Figment's the man. You know,
So we were very announcement.
Yeah.
So I know that Jen has concerning Epcot as well, and then I can wrap up because I also have some news at Epcot. Cool. Jen, if you wanted to go.
Sure.
As well.
So just thinking about attractions that rolled out this year, the long awaited, which I feel like this took forever to build, Moana or Journey of Water, inspired by Moana is the official name, finally opened on October 16th, though they did a healthy run of DVC and pass holder previews prior to the official opening. It is an outdoor exploration trail where water comes to life. So it's a walkthrough attraction and it is not Genie Plus eligible, but it being a walkthrough attraction can accommodate a large amount of people. We've done it. It can take as little as 10 minutes if you are just, oh, that's cool, and moving on. We probably spent about 20 in there and I could have spent longer. But definitely options during the warmer months if you're open to letting your children actually play in the water and are prepared with a change of clothes for that. Also options to not be wet in the walkthrough attraction. So that was the route I chose. But it's really beautiful and it's a nice addition to the park. It's right there towards the middle. And it's good to finally see some of that central part of Epcot opening back up because it has been construction walls for too long. So, you know, with that, I felt like Moana was new again between that and we've got some Moana meet and greets that rolled out this year. Mm-hmm. So I think overall a good addition.
Were you able to go at night or was it during the day?
We went during the day.
I heard it's beautiful at night. So we haven't met Figment yet and we haven't done the Moana, you know, Journey of Moana. So, you know, kind of going off of yours and Chris's news, most of the construction walls at Epcot have come down. World Celebration Gardens opened December 5th. World Celebration offers a beautiful hub divided into several different gardens with a central planter based on the 5-ring Epcot logo. Both a new statue of Walt Disney in an area called Dreamer's Point and a new nighttime spectacular, Luminous, also debuted on the same day in honor of Walt Disney's company's 100th anniversary and Walt Disney's birthday. I didn't realize that. So the rest of World Celebration will be completed in 2024 with Communicore Plaza, an outdoor event space for musical performances inside Communicore Hall will be a flexible gallery space focusing on art, live music, and food, complete with a demonstration kitchen, perfect for the many Epcot festivals. Next door will be a designated location to meet Mickey and friends. So I know that there was a big buzz when those walls came down. Mm-hmm. So I know, I mean, if you guys follow DVC-Rental mm-hmm. webpage or you're on EDCOT, you may see the name Debbie Allen. And I just have to give kudos to my coworker because she, I swear she lives there, but she takes the most magnificent pictures and then shares them online. Mm-hmm. And she, I mean, she just thrives off of that. And so she was able to, I don't know if she was there on opening day or not, but she said it was spectacular. There's all kinds of seating, you know, with the planters and stuff. So now you have just tons of seating, you know, near the spaceship Earth. So, yeah.
Do you guys have like whiplash from the firework changes this year? Because I couldn't keep up almost.
Yeah.
We went from Harmonious to Epcot Ever After to Illuminous. And then we got, so many changes.
And there was like Happily Ever After, but added scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
Kudos to Epcot too for having all these passive people eater attractions. Because the one thing the Disney company can do is theme and landscape better than anybody else. When you need to create a imagined land and landscape it like tight, like, you know, they're going to really produce something good. And, you know, it's great, especially in a park that, you know, the e-ticket attractions, good heavens, if you don't buy, you know, your lightning lane, it's like, what are we going to do? We've got a really cool option for you, and you could take 10 minutes. You can take 40 minutes, depending on what you want to do. So good for them for actually putting something like
and
that
then, in. And then, you know, in regards to the planners and the seating area, you know, you go to the booths, now you have somewhere to sit, you know, and you just, you know, sit a little plate on your legs. So definitely needed seating. So
cool.
Yep.
Is it back to me at this point? Is that it? Or is it you, Jen?
Was it
you? Go for it, Chris.
Well, what I was going to talk about was the all day park hoppers returning. So, and you know, this, there are other parts of this story, you know, the reservation system being eliminated and yada, 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 but the all day park hoppers are going to return in early January of 2024. This was announced on October the 11th. So there's two different versions of this. There's the guest with ticket option and then the annual pass option. And they wanted to roll out the guest with ticket option first, at least as far as my understanding. You know, my forte is not news, but as far as my understanding goes. So it's available to any guest with a ticket that has a park option benefit that, let me see here, is shared that on days when theme park reservations are required for annual pass holders and certain non-dated tickets, pass holders and guests will be able to take advantage of the updates to Park Hopper access after visiting their first park. And then good to go days will also return at some point in January. These are days at which the AP holders do not need a theme park reservation to visit a park. So, you know, it's good. I appreciate this as the battery of options for people. I'm not a park hopper. You know, I tend to just want to get involved with one park. I've got it committed to my mind. We're going to spend, this is going to be Epcot Day. This is Hollywood Studios Day. This is Animal Kingdom Day.
Yep.
And it seems like when you get the idea that you're going to go hop from two or three parks, unless you're trying specifically to attend something there at a different park, it becomes more of the work and like a rush through than enjoying the experience and like unpacking for the day. At least that's been my experience. So cool.
I agree.
I won't use it a whole lot, but I do see the value in having it. So that's really cool.
I will say that before we were annual pass holders, we would only buy non-park hopper tickets because I had no I don't want to say I didn't see the value in hopping, but it just added an additional layer when there was just so much to do already. And we were there were still so many new things and we wanted to take everything in. Like, we weren't there all the time, you know? And so not until we really would go down like five times a year, could I see the value in hopping to another park. And usually we would hop with friends. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's Jen Bachman saying we're going to Hollywood Studios at 7 o'clock, you know, and we've been to Magic Kingdom all day. And I was like, okay, I'm, you know, like more of a tag along, but not you know, maybe like if you could only get a coveted reservation, dining reservation on a certain day, you know,
that's
what I mean?
Where I see the value in there for sure.
Yeah. But outside of that, like, I would just rather low key stay in one park a day.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely depends. I get asked this a lot from travel clients. Like, would you recommend it? And if it is a trip of less than 5 days and they're first time visitors, I would struggle to recommend it unless they are with a crowd that can do some of the later things that like you're not going to do, you know, Animal Kingdom's wrapping up at like 6 or 7 o'clock if you're even staying that long. Right. But for people that go more frequently or stay for longer, I think it is a nice option to mix and match different features.
I agree with that.
Okay. So you're up, Jen.
All right. So talking about things returning, the dining plan is back, guys. Looks a little different. So
more expensive.
It is more expensive. It's a little, well, I think actually one of the kids' prices did wind up dropping.
I was trying to remember how it looks different. So I'm listening all ears.
So we're down to before COVID, there were three different dining plan options. And now there are just two. So you can add this to vacation packages. And it starts for trips on January 9th and later. And just like before, you can add it for a day. You can add it for just one person in your party. You got to be all in on this. But there are two options. One is the quick service plan. So that's going to include two quick service meals, a non-alcoholic or alcoholic drink with those meals, and then a snack and your refillable mug. Now that option is $57 and I think 1 cent per day per adult, and then around $23.83 per day per child. And then those allocations I just went through, that's for each night of your stay. And for the other options now, the Disney dining plan, which is a quick service meal, a table service meal, one snack or non-alcoholic drink, and refillable mugs. And that'll be a bit more spendy. So that's going to work out to just under $95 a day per adult, and then $29.69 per day per child. So you really have to math to figure out if that is going to be.
I thought it was like 76.
Yeah, that surprised me. I didn't pay attention to the price too initially when that came out. That 95.
Yeah.
You're right about having a math, Jen, on that one. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if you rent DVC points through us, you can actually still add the Disney dining plan onto your site. So, but you really got to think if it works for your family or not.
Yeah. And so what they got rid of then is that like Uber Deluxe.
Yeah.
You
like
can eat
three sit down meals a day if you want, like just eat nonstop.
Which makes sense. I mean, who is doing that?
Yeah.
Jen, give me a person that's buying this. You know, when you sell a package, give me the family. Give me a person type.
I think the value is in a family that wants to do a lot of character meals. Because character meal is going to run you maybe $60 plus per adult, right? And so if you back into it that way, actually might work in your favor. It is also people who are not necessarily price conscious, but want to feel that more all-inclusive experience and not get to Disney and feel nickeled and dimed in the sense of, now I have to think about food budget. Now I have to think about, do I have to order the pasta when I really want the steak because it's $20 different? So I think there is a market there for people who just want, you know what? I want my meals taken care of and I want to not feel like I have to worry about it. And that's great. There's definitely a client base for that.
Okay. I would say like when we first started going to Disney and we took our first few big trips, we are definitely fans of the Disney dining plan. So not until we started going more often and, you know, maybe not doing as many sit down meals, did it lose its value, quote unquote, to us. So, but you know, when we first started going, we would plan out every single dining, you know, planning just, and I would make sure I got my best bang for my buck. Like we were doing all character meals, you know, like, oh, I wasn't getting a salad if we went to, you know, not fixed, you know, price. No.
Yeah.
We're going to get the most expensive thing on the menu, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So. Well, remember, it's priced that way because they know that'll make money, you know? So I could see the examples you gave, Jen, is completely valid, but you're absolutely right. If you're going down there and you go down there once or twice a year, definitely do the math. Look at where you're going to eat, do that price, come up with a number, and then figure that out for yourself. Because that's a lot. You know, you get a family of five, you start doing the math on your kids that are 14, you know, and you're two adults, and you're like, whoa, you know, that's quite a commitment per day. You know?
Yep. But I mean, on the flip side, right, I've left like Ohana, like clutching my pearls over what we've spent on our family of four.
Where you would have been like, gosh, I wish I would have prepaid and not have had to worry about that bill.
There is something to be said about that as well, too, is when you go to those and you're like, nope, just take care of it. It's already taken care of. I don't care. You know, and, you know, if the word ignorance is bliss is not accurate in this statement, but it's close. You know, it's close.
That's pretty good. So.
Outstanding.
Right. So I just wanted to give some updates on Disney Cruise Line. And so I have a few things. So the Disney Treasure, Disney's newest ship, sailing 7-night Eastern and Western Caribbean itineraries beginning December 2024. I am most excited about, me personally, I'm most excited about the Moana Broadway style show, the Haunted Mansion bar, the Coco themed restaurant, and jumbo suites inspired by the elephant ice cream shop from Zootopia. So I just think it looks adorable. And like my husband really, 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 really wants to get on the Disney Treasure. So I just have not been able to justify the cost with, you know, at a time where I wouldn't have to pull out the kids. So, and then the name also revealed the name for the ship being built and that will premiere in 2025 has been named the Disney Adventure. Which will begin sailing from Singapore in her inaugural season, serving the Southeastern Asian market year round. Disney Adventure is expected to have a capacity closer to 6,000 guests. And that's where they bought that ship that was partially built. The company went bankrupt. Like, I think the ship they were building was going to, the capacity was going to be 9,000. Disney says, let's do it our way and take it down to 6,000. And so it's going to be a big one. And I know, but there are a lot of people excited for the, you know, for the Asian market, you know, to have out there. So
Cassandra, was that from the White Star Lines? It was the unsinkable ship. Is that the one they purchased? Come on now. Titanic.
I literally looked over at my husband. He smirked and laughed. And then I looked back at the computer screen and you have a poop eaten grin on your face. And I know that I've been got.
I was got with you. I did, when he said the unsinkable ship, I was like, wait a minute. But it took my brain a minute to get there.
Okay. And then one more, Lighthouse Point, Disney Cruise Line's new private destination in Eleuthera, Bahamas, was announced in 2019. Guests will officially be welcomed to the island June 2024. Many of the amenities at Lighthouse Point are similar to those at Disney's existing Bahamian private island destination, Castaway Key. Both offer family and adults-only beaches, beach games and sports, snorkeling, water slides and play areas, dining, shopping, and more. Both also put sustainability and environmental protection at the forefront. I really want to go on a cruise that goes to both. It's almost like
I have someone going on a cruise to both, and I'm like, can you take all the pictures?
Because
I agree, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. But that's what I have for Disney Cruise Line news.
You girls have both been on Disney cruises before?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm like the poor cousin. I've not been on a Disney cruise yet. Royal Caribbean, Carnival. Yep.
I will say that I priced out when I was talking about the Disney Treasure. I priced out a spring break cruise for my family of four, and it was already a few weeks after it started booking. You know, when you book cruises, the longer you wait, the faster the ship fills up, the more expensive it gets. Mm-hmm. So I think by the time I looked, and it didn't start out much cheaper than this, because I looked before it went on sale and it was $11,000 for 7 nights. And I was like,
Yeah.
You know, and what we have our Royal Caribbean sailing in July, you know, and we're in a junior suite and we paid for 6 nights in the summer, we paid $3,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Not many companies can do what they can do, though, you know, and I say
definitely
those costs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely a different value proposition. And my kids have fun on both Royal and Disney, but it's different. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Animal Kingdom, if you don't mind. Yeah. That's going to be my news here. It's a mixed bag. And here's why. There's a lot of buzz, right? There's a lot of buzz about Animal Kingdom, but there's not a lot of solid information right now. There's a few things that are going to be changed, and there's a few things that are solidified. So a couple of things. The Finding Nemo, the Big Blue and Beyond is a reimagined version of the Finding Nemo, which still features the puppets that people love, you know, and but it's a shorter version of the show. So that's going to happen. They are going to be closing that Dino-Rama area, and that's going to actually be reimagined as Tropical Americas at Animal Kingdom. That's the news. And then they've had maps out and shown you kind of in theory, here's like what Encanto can look like. And ooh, is that a pyramid with Indy over here? But it's all like blue sky planning at this point. You know, it's like there's nothing been solid about there.
And if we know Disney and like look at Epcot, all these grand ideas. I mean, granted, COVID happens, you know what I mean? And budget cuts happened. But I mean, like, I'm excited. Well, one, we've not been to Disneyland, so I've not experienced Indiana's Adventure. Is that what it's called? Indiana Jones Adventure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that it's apparently much better than Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy Dinosaur. So if it's better than Dinosaur, you know, so there's a lot of things I'm excited about here. We do like the Dino-Rama area, but I also feel like it's wasted space. So if they could capitalize on the, you know, real estate that they have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what else is going in right now is Zootopia, the Tree of Life show, is going to replace Tough to Be a Bug, which had both good and kind of like connotation, because the Zootopia land we're seeing in Asia right now is spectacular. Mm-hmm. But now we know that's not going to take place here. So, because they're bringing the Zootopia show as opposed to the land. Oh. So that's okay. It's like, yay, it's going to be a new show. Because, man, I hate to even say this. I can't ever recall even watching It's Tough to Be a Bug. And, like, that hasn't resonated for how long? You know, that was out before Parker was born. You know, so you know, that was out before Brady was born, you know, at this point.
A Bug's Life?
Yeah.
A Bug's
Life. Did I say Tough to Be a Bug? Yeah.
You said Tough to Be. I was like, I've seen A Tough to Be a Bug.
You're right.
A Bug's Life. That was more like a.
Yeah, but you're right. I
1998, guys. Like, I was still in high school.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I was just a teenager, but okay. No problem. We'll go on from there. So, anyways, it needs something, but that Shanghai version of Zootopia land looks like spectacular. So, there's a lot of like, flurries, but like nothing solid to grab onto. But you made a point, Jen, before the show. When if they start closing things, and you know, their knock on Animal Kingdom has been it's not a half day, maybe it's a little longer than that. But yikes, if you're taking away, it certainly becomes, you know, less of an attraction there. Hence the $159 ticket as opposed to the Magic Kingdom single day ticket of.
Oh gosh, don't get Chris started, you guys, because he's got predictions.
$189, you know? So, you know, I wish there was more to report. A lot of cool things, because people really want Animal Kingdom to be this. But, you know, a lot of plans, just not a lot of solid answers right now.
I would love for Animal Kingdom to stay open later, because I think that's really where it shines. You know, like, I don't want to say why have Pandora. I know, like, obviously it gets darker later now, you know what I mean? But if you can't experience Pandora at night, you know, you're really missing out. Malik, you still haven't, or have you?
Oh, no, I have. I have. It's great. You know, I know the initial reason why they closed the park earlier was because they have animals they maintain, the animal schedule, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I mean, and you're going to have a Hollywood, fireworks show, and yet you have to return animals back to their staging area, feed and sleep. But I agree with you for sure. That park, even back, if you went and looked at my history on Facebook back when I first started, I literally made a post and said, Animal Kingdom is the most beautiful park at nighttime of all the parks, because it's the quietest, but yet the light is like, it's beautiful and passive in the surrounding. It was like, this is lovely. This is really nice. But yeah, you're right. You get this very rarely. 8 o'clock. There you go. You know, but wait a minute. It's not even dark at 8 o'clock just yet.
Yeah. I mean, I love Animal Kingdom day or night. I agree. Like Pandora is beautiful at night, and it's a shame that a lot of people don't see that anymore. I also, if you guys remember, they put all that work into a nighttime version of the safari, and that didn't last so long. So that was right around when Rivers of Light was coming out. I guess 2019, and we'd been on it and it was cool. They put in like artificial lighting, so it looked more like sunset in certain areas, and you could see some things, and it was a different experience, but that's gone. Obviously Rivers of Light wasn't what they wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So they've not brought any nighttime thing back. I mean, as much as I love Animal Kingdom, it does need some love, and they need to just figure out how to bring people into that park. Because gosh, with all those animals, just the upkeep of that park on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from the firework costs at Epcot and Magic Kingdom, I've got to imagine that Animal Kingdom is just real pricey per guest to maintain.
This is not meant as snark or a pessimistic report. I've been to Animal Kingdom, it was about maybe 9 months ago, and a dinosaur attraction, which I love, was just tired. It was tired. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad for it because I love the attraction. I love how it's angry and it's aggressive, and the Carnosaurus is ready to, but like you can see that the dust and the paint look dirty, and it just felt tired to me. So it's going to be something special. And if they are able to go and levy Indiana Jones over there, the Indiana Jones attraction, I know Jen's been to Disneyland plenty of times, Cassandra, is spectacular. Oh my goodness. It might be the best attraction in that park, at least in my opinion. So yeah, really good. Really good.
Yeah.
So what do we got left?
I have a quick news item, just speaking of Disneyland. Mm-hmm. So going out to the West Coast. So they've made some changes there in 23. Couple of things that they've done. So Toontown has reopened. So a lot of those play areas have been refurbished. It is a fantastic spot if you've got littles to go and let them burn off some energy and just hang out. Super cute. You could like go in Mickey's house. You can go on Donald's boat. And they did some minor updates to a few of the existing attractions there as well. And then they also added their version of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is the same exact attraction from the opening scene where the, spoiler alert, where the movie screen, like it gets
explodes.
The big one. Explodes, yeah. So from that, like that scene on is the same attraction, but the queue for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway out there is 1000% different. And so that's kind of fun to see the differences there. And it's super cute. But that was probably the big land/attraction update out of Disneyland.
Ooh, but San Fran, Tokyo.
Yeah. So you're right. Over in...
Oh, see, this is where I need Jen. This is where I need Jen.
Okay.
Two separate parks.
We're still hoping you get on that plane, Cassandra. We heard you get out of the plane.
Well, Cassandra's about to get a text asking if I'm invited too when she goes. But San Francisco is in California Adventure. There aren't any attractions in that. It is incredibly well themed. It's super cool. I was there a few weeks ago, and so I'm about to upload a whole bunch of photos of it. Food is fantastic. Lots of options. Baymax is there. He talks, which I didn't realize he talks until I met him.
I met him.
Yeah. I met him. I know him. he didn't talk at Disney World. And so I was just expecting a non-talking Baymax, but no.
We know, la, 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 la.
What kind of voice? Does he have an accent? What kind of voice does he have?
No, it's, I mean, it is the AI? Baymax voice.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So they
I was like excited. It was going to be French Baymax. It was going to be cool.
Why would it be French Baymax?
That's what I imagine.
Right. If anything, it'd be like Tokyo Baymax.
That's why I asked. I need to know.
Oh my gosh. And then just Disneyland has a very limited amount of Disney properties there in terms of hotel accommodations. So I'm going to say this slowly because we keep using very similar names for things and Jen gets confused. What was Paradise Pier, which is one of three official Disneyland hotels, they have been undergoing a huge renovation. It was first the outside of the building and then they moved interior. But it is now going to be Pixar Place, not to be confused with Pixar Pier, which is in Disney California Adventure. But the hotel is Pixar Place. It is, you guys, the only fully themed Pixar hotel in the United States, which is kind of exciting. And it is kind of what you might imagine with the Pixar lamp, the Pixar ball. It's got Finding Nemo water features by the pool. And
so we're getting art animation vibes.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah. Yep. But I think from what I've seen, it's less like art animation is so loud. This is a little more like they've included artwork from the concept art. So I think it's a little, although Pixar is loud, it's a little more refined than what we see at Art of Animation.
Okay. So if I can't get into Grand Cal or Disneyland Tower with DVC points, Pixar Place would not be a bad trade.
Maybe. I don't think it would. It opens January 30th, so it'll open in plenty of time. And it does also have an exclusive entrance to Disney California Adventure, which I believe is right by the Poultry Palace in Pixar Pier, if you've been there.
The Poultry Palace?
Mal? Yeah, that's one of the food options. Poultry Palace.
I would eat there. Well, I don't know that Malik's been there.
I'm trying to pick where that entrance would be. Where would that be?
Because I know that comes through kind of like the back of Pixar Pier there. You know, like Jesse's Critter Carousel is over there.
Is it across the road? Would it be across? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what I'm not thinking. So with Grand Californian, you literally walk right seamlessly into the park. So there would be an entrance and it'd be a gated entrance, right? Okay. That was a lack of understanding. Because it doesn't connect directly into the park.
It doesn't.
That's what I was struggling with.
Okay. Callahan wants to stay at Grand Cal because you can walk straight into.
Oh, yeah.
That boy's got fancy taste, let me tell you. You know?
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Yes,
that a boy, Chris.
That champagne boy. Taste over there.
He's over there with his pinky up.
Nice. Really
nice. And then, guys, I don't know how we made it this far. We didn't talk about Splash Mountain finally closing.
Okay, let's hear about it.
I didn't want to talk about it.
I know.
Let's hear about it.
You know.
Well, it finally happened.
Okay.
Both Splash Mountains are done. RIP Splash Mountain. Disney World definitely closed several months earlier than Disneyland.
Was it March, April, or May?
That feels right.
It feels maybe earlier.
Maybe it was earlier.
All right. And it's going to be.
No, you know what? It was earlier because it was when typically they would go down for refurbishment in January and they just didn't reopen back up.
Jen, what's it going to be rethemed to?
It's going to be rethemed to Princess and the Frog.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
That's right.
My prediction number one will be that it will exceed expectations and Splash Mountain won't be forgotten, but it certainly won't be talked about with the reverence it's given right now. People will be fully on board with Tiana's Bayou Adventure because the Imagineers know you've just taken down one of the most beloved attractions.
Iconic
attractions. It has to be good. It can't be done you know, mediocre.
No budget cuts, Disney. No budget cuts on Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Like,
correct. So, my weak prediction.
Yeah,
it'll be special.
Yeah, I think people are less salty about it now than when the news obviously first dropped, and then a year later or a year and a half later when they closed it. You know what I mean? Now it's like, all right, just get it back open. Just give me the drop.
Wait a minute. The drop. You mean the Disney community has reactions and overreactions to closures and changes?
Yes, so much so that they will go out. Yes, they will go out on eBay and pay.
What?
You know, four times the cost of a mug.
I've never heard of that before.
Look, people were ready to go to war over the changes in Pirates with Red. So.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Long forgotten fight there. No problem. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so that was one of my predictions. Should we go around with some predictions? Is that okay right now? Should we move
that
up? Yeah,
I think that works. Chris, do you want to talk about our giveaway before we do that?
Well, we can. So the aforementioned Splash Mountain, I happen to have, if you've listened to the dubs, you know I've got access to a whole bunch of pins. We are 99.1% certain they are authentic. They are on pin cards and feature Splash Mountain with various, you know, designs. I have a pin on a pin back and a pin card right here, and it features Mickey and Splash Mountain. So we're going to give some predictions. What we're going to ask is that in Epcot, just chime in with the post. We're going to have a specific prediction post and just chime in with a prediction. After we're going to give a certain length of time, we'll put it in the actual post. We're just going to put everyone's name in a hat. We're going to draw a winner. Just going to mail you out a brand new Splash Mountain pin.
Nice. So. Well, and I'm going to add to that because I'm competitive. So
great.
I want to also know, give us your predictions, but also tell us who had the best predictions.
Oh, you are competitive.
Oh, and I'm totally not prepared for that. I'm just going to smile and nod with you guys. But I was going to say, can Cassandra Incognito participate with predictions?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jen, what's your prediction? Give us one.
Give you one. Okay. I am predicting that we will see the return of a free dining promotion in 2024.
Mm.
Because they are not selling resorts to capacity at this point. What's the motivation behind that?
I think the motivation is there are still times where they have dips in sales.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would do a lot to get people. Look, if you math on a free dining promotion, not always getting the best deal. But if you go and ask 100 people, if you survey 100 people, that number one answer on the Prices Right is going to say, we're getting a great deal with free dining, right? Mm-hmm. And so that perceived value goes a really long way. And they're going to get people in the door that way more so than, you know, that creates the rush. It creates the excitement, yeah. But it also creates then an experience with free dining or with the dining plan, I should say. So now next time I go, oh, we had the dining plan last time. It was so great. I didn't have to worry about everything. I got steak everywhere I ate. So they're setting themselves then up for future buy-ins to the Disney dining plan, I think.
Yeah, she's brilliant, you guys. She's brilliant. So I'm going to kind of piggyback off of that. Like, I think that we've already seen some discounts released for spring. They're going to come for summer if they haven't been already. And they're usually pretty significant because summer is actually a slower time, you know, for Disney now. Everybody thinks that summer's so busy, but it's really not. You know, you consider November, December, you see less discounts offered around that time. So I think that we're going to see bigger discounts, and that in the DVC rental world is what we're up against.
Well, let me throw something that parlays all these together and paint a picture that doesn't always look so rosy. So the things you guys just mentioned, and my next prediction is going to be on ticket prices. So, but we also talked about all day park hoppers returning. And we also talked about the park reservation system is going away. And it paints a picture where the parks, even though we perceive them to be really crowded, aren't at max capacity. And the hotels are also potentially not at the capacity level they want to have. So all these things kind of work together. We're going to add the dining plan, try and draw people. We're going to take away the restrictions because the parks aren't really at full capacity. But we also got to go and make a certain dollar limit. So my prediction to help thin out the crowd, but also generate enough revenue, Magic Kingdom right now, $189. That's what it costs. One day ticket, just straight up ticket, Magic Kingdom, $189. $179 for Animal Kingdom Studios as well. I'm sorry, $179 for Epcot and the studios, and $159 for Animal Kingdom. You're going to see Magic Kingdom blow right past the $200 mark. You're going to see Magic Kingdom at the $210, $215 mark, potentially. You're going to see the other resorts probably get really close to $200, but it's going to be strategic. They're going to tuck it right underneath $200 and go to about $199 for Epcot and $199 for the studios. And Animal Kingdom, I think it's going to remain at $159. I think it's going to stay really low right now, knowing they're going to try and draw, but they can't really go and offer a full battery of things. But you're going to see Magic Kingdom go right past that $200 mark. Within a couple of years, you'll see Magic Kingdom at $250. Mm-hmm. And all these things kind of work together. If they're taking away the park reservation system, well, this crowd control right here, right? And they're going to plus your experience by, you know, you're increasing the revenue, you're increasing the spend, maybe not in the food spend or the merchandise spend, but the ticket entrance spend. And maybe that makes it experience all the more better, even if the ticket price is a little more expensive to start. So you're going to see Magic Kingdom will right past $200, and you're going to see others just tuck right underneath it. I know it seems like, that's not really risky, but you're going to see that number shoot right past. Maybe Iger said he wasn't going to do that, but dude, everything in this world has gone up in price. Mm-hmm. Everything has gone up, except for gas recently. You know, gas has come down mercifully, thank goodness. But, you know, as far as discretionary spending goes, that's my thought on that.
Interesting.
So what do you got, Jen?
Oh, so I start, this is really two in one. So mm-hmm. I'm going to maybe hedge my bets here. I think my prediction is that a fifth gate will be announced. So a fifth theme park. I think Disney has to do something big to keep up with their neighbors, Universal.
And is that fifth gate Animal Kingdom?
it sure ain't.
Yeah, right? Okay.
But so, I think they need to stop teasing it and like commit to it. I know they've filed some permits but I think they have some options to where they can actually build two additional theme parks in the next couple of years.
To keep within the land ratio. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll build two, but I do think they need to and may commit to one. And this is an and or. I predict one of the water parks will close.
Ooh.
And so right now, like they used to operate both at the same time for most of the year, except for like winter refurbishments. But this past year, we saw
one or the other.
Like, and I just at the end of the day, again, that's a huge cost, I think, to maintain and keep clean and, you know, treat the water and all mm-hmm. of the things. And I don't know that we'll continue to see too moving forward, because unless they rework ticketing somehow, the draw is just not there. People that go on, you know, 4 or 5 day vacations aren't going to take a day and just mm-hmm. go to the water park.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Universal's water park. If I'm local, I'm going to go to Universal's water park.
Mm. I've been to Typhoon Lagoon. It's pretty special. I've not been to Blizzard Beach. And it's got a little nice patch of land there, you know, and kind of gives credibility to that over in that side of Walt Disney World. That'd be kind of interesting. I like that.
Okay. So I'm going to go with, you remember that announcement behind Big Thunder Mountain with the expansion? Mm-hmm. I'm going to think that doesn't come through. Remember that was going to be Encanto Villains? Was that what it was?
I think it was
maybe another Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have much other than that. But Jen, I like your one of the water parks closing. Hmm. So,
can I talk about Genie Plus going to hit $50? Can I say that at peak period? Yeah. Right now it's between 16 and 35 bucks.
Gosh, 35. I shouldn't say shocked when it hit that, but I was like, holy schmoly.
Yep.
But we're back.
I didn't 23 as of today. And it's a weekday.
But it did hit 35 on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Did it?
And so in terms of peak pricing, how about a bad one? I'm saying it could hit $50. Yikes. What I love to see, a ticket option that includes a one-day ticket option that includes, the Genie Plus and a dining program, like the Disney Mega Ticket that mm-hmm. includes all that for one day. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be.
That wasn't my prediction. My prediction is going to be the Country Bears are going to be even better now with the refurbishment. And I love the Country Bears. And you know what? Honestly, all things need to change in time. It needs to be updated. And this is going to be special when it reopens because it's such a beloved attraction as well, too. People are like, who loves that attraction? I love that freaking attraction. It's going to be it is a beloved attraction. It's going to be something special when it reopens. That's my prediction as well, too. I just have faith in the Imagineers to do these refurbishments and these reimaginings correctly. I think it's going to be something cool.
I think that's good. Mm-hmm. I have a Genie Plus prediction too.
Uh-oh.
I think they're going to add the option back for, and maybe it's hotel and ticket passages or hotel and ticket packages only. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to add back the option to add it to trips in advance because look, we have overcomplicated Genie Plus in so many ways. And having people get up and at 7 a.m. to book their first, to purchase it and then book their first, like that wasn't working. So we're seeing changes now where we were teasing out being able to do more in advance potentially, but I think it's going to come back as a pre-purchase add-on.
I was reading somewhere, and I don't know if it was a valid site or not, something about a pre-selection rides, kind of like fast pass.
Yeah,
Did I read that? Because I would love that, and I don't know if I would qualify for that now as a DVC member and former AP holder. But if we get our annual passes back, I don't know that we would qualify. But 2016, 2018, 2019, Cassandra, like. That was my jam. Like I had spreadsheets prepared. We had this ride booked for this time. I loved it. And I know a lot of people didn't love it, but man, I did,
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a few of these predictions. So how about if we do this, we're going to make a post in this. This is our essentially our New Year's show. We're going to make a post in EDCOT and then chime in with your prediction. We're just going to take everyone's prediction and we're going to go and throw you in a hat. And we're going to go and give away this pin, this Splash Mountain pin. And because Jen's overly competitive, Jen wants to know which one of hers was the best the best prediction, essentially.
That's not what I said, sir.
We had great ones. Chris is like, the prices are going to raise. Yes. Right? Yes. That was me last year, remember?
Let's talk about that. So real quick, right, we committed in the opening. We were going to shame people for their bad predictions last year. So real quick, here's what we got. So, and Cindy and Jenny aren't even here to defend themselves, but Cindy said the Disney dining plan will return and the cost goes up. So yay for Cindy, nailed it. Josh DeMauro to replace Bob Iger. So not yet, Cindy.
Work in progress.
And menus will be streamlined with less options. I think we've seen a little bit of that, but Rose and Crown's the one we talked about last year though, because that just happened. And that I think was driving that conversation. Yep.
Bananas. Would you order four things on there?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Jenny said Figment meet and greet will be 5-hour wait times. Wrong. We need sound effects. Chris, can you help?
Where's our buzzer?
The popcorn bucket was.
Yeah. People want popcorn buckets more than they want a hug from Figment. That's what this has taught us.
But what was the first day? 3 hours?
I don't know.
But now, yeah.
But that didn't account for the time spent on the floor.
Fell, yes.
That was a great moment in Disney history. I will always remember that.
The pinnacle of 2023, really.
You could tell. I spent too much time watching AFV.
So Jenny also said relaxed restrictions on park hopping. So we'll give her that. And then she said that the Star Cruiser will drop in price. So
It did.
It did. It is now $0 because it's closed.
So any predictions for that? You think they're just going to level it?
It's too small, I feel like, to do anything with. I don't know. Okay, Cassandra, here's your moment of truth. Crowd levels go down. You feel like that happened?
My husband's giving a big thumbs down.
Okay.
That did not happen.
All right. Thank you for telling her she was wrong, so I didn't have to, Chris.
Don't be afraid of me, Disco.
You got this one. Annual passes to be sold again.
Oh, I actually meant, yep.
You got that one.
And they're still being sold, you guys.
And then here you go. Here's the softball you lobbed. Prices will increase. And then we all called you a cheater. So
I think we can always say that every year. Yeah. Yep, it's going to be higher than you expected. Yeah. And you were right.
So I predicted Moana wouldn't open until at least Food and Wine 2023. So yes, and then some. Mm-hmm. I was wrong on this. So I thought we would see some version of Magical Express come back, but with a cost. Nope. You still.
I really think they need to do that though. Like that, if we were going to say predictions for next year, you did. I'm too afraid to say, I think it's going to return in some capacity. I know that they did the merge with Sunshine.
Yeah, they did the merge.
And Mears, but is it? It's not controlled by Disney.
No. Maintaining those buses, maintaining that labor force,
right?
You know what I mean.
All right. I predicted there would be updates to the scenes that you see in the Disney or the Magic Kingdom Railroad. There were not. It is the same old 70s all day, every day there. And then my other wrong prediction was. Well, yeah, still wrong. Carousel of Progress refresh. And unfortunately not unless you...
I mean, kind of a refresh. They got some new duds.
When his hand falls off.
Yeah, well, I was going to say my joke with that, guys, was unless you count the squirrel cameo. So,
squirrel, new duds, and losing an appendage.
Yeah. So obviously we're fantastic at predictions. So let's just see what happens this year with ours.
Seriously. So if we literally covered every news story, we would have three times as much to talk about. So we try to go and parse out like the best ones, right? So again, EDCAT, post, make your prediction, tell Jen she did really good, and then we'll all be happy campers, and we're going to pick out a winner for this Splash Mountain pin. Jen, let's put you on the spot. Let's wrap this up and bring this home. Let's see what you got.
All right. Well, appreciate everybody listening from Chris and Cassandra and myself. Hope you guys have a happy holidays, a happy new year. We're looking forward to talking more Disney news with you in 2024. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.